Good evening. So we are at the end of this series on the five acts of worship, and I decided to put these two together because at one time I did a sermon on giving and I butchered it. So I found it easier just to put the two together. But when we look at the Lord's Supper and giving, there are many who don't fully quite understand. We even see at some point that people who looked in on the disciples of Christ and the apostles thought they were cannibals because they would talk about the Lord's Supper. They would partake of it every first day of the week. And they would say, well, this represents Christ's body, the bread, and the cup represents his blood. But what they heard was, you're eating your Lord and Savior. But even today, we have many who misunderstand. There are many who will only partake of the Lord's Supper every quarter, once a year. I have heard people tell me, we only take it once a year during a special moment. Well, that's not what Scripture says. And then giving. You know, I've had people, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I've had people tell me, you need to tithe. There's nowhere in the New Testament where we are told to tithe. Now, if you decide to give 10%, great. If you don't, if you decide in your own heart what you want to give, great. But once again, we need to have a better understanding. And once again, this whole series, keep it God's way. Do it God's way. So when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23... For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so we see with the Lord's Supper that it's about remembrance, remembering what Christ did for us. Because when you look at the bread, it represents his body, which was broken, which was torn. We see on his way to the cross the things that he went through. And even, you know, we look at some of these movies that portray his scourging. It doesn't even come close to what he went through. This is a man who is the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, who came down from the comforts of heaven to be scourged. Scourging, if you know anything about it, it was very violent. It was awful. And then, from that point, humiliated, mocked, putting on a crown of thorns, and this wouldn't have been just gently laying it on around his head. They would have beaten it into a skull where the thorns would have went in, mocking him as the King of Kings. And so when we look here, the bread, which represents his body, the cup, which represents his blood, which was spilled on the cross, it is to remember what our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, went through. And we should always, every first day of the week, remember what he went through. Because I'll tell you, when a man is willing to die for me, when I've really done nothing to deserve it, do you think he deserves to be remembered? We remember the brave men and women who fight for our country overseas. We remember athletes and their stats. We can remember the actors and actresses who, what movies they do. But many people forget about our Lord and Savior. It's a sad thing, but it happens. When we look at Israel, we see that they would partake of the unleavened bread. They would take part in the Passover, looking into Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. And so we see here the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. What were these things that Israel were commanded by God to participate in? They were to remember what God had done for them in Egypt. And they weren't just to do it the one time, were they? It was to be done throughout the other generations, by the generations. It was to be kept. It was to be remembered. What happened when one generation passed away that did not pass it down? Well, the future generations forgot what God had done for them. And what did that spell out for Israel? Doom. Because at that point, Israel had gone back into sin. We see this. We see what had happened to Israel when they did not know what God had done for their fathers. It's so important, not just for us here, but for our children, to teach them why we do the Lord's Supper, what it represents. Because what if our children grow up not knowing what Christ had done for us? Does that spell out doom for them and their children and their children's children? Absolutely. When a child does not know who Christ is and what he did for us on the cross, that's not good for the future generation of the church. And it happens all the time. It's so important that we remember and not forget. And yes, it's not just on Sunday we remember the Lord and then go the rest of the week. Oh, we are to remember what Christ did for us and obey him daily. Of course, when we come together, this one special moment as the church every first day of the week, yes, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we go back to our main text and we see we are proclaiming Christ's death, aren't we? Are we not? It's so important. Yet many treat it as unimportant. And you can see by the way they walk and their children walk as unholy and sin. And it's a sad thing when we see it. And so, when we look at the Lord's Supper, is there an improper usage? Is there an improper way to go about with the Lord's Supper? Well, absolutely. As we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 20 and going to 22. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. The church in Corinth had enough problems. But here, what were they doing? They were using the Lord's Supper as a meal. Now, many antis will use this text, and I don't think many of them use it today. I think they've wisened up that this is not a good text to use to support no eating in the building. Because that has nothing to do with what Paul's saying here to the Corinthians. And so we must understand, it is not a meal. I remember one year at camp, I had this young girl come to me after one of our classes, and she said, "I want to be baptized." I said, "Well, why do you want to be baptized?" "Well, I want to eat the crackers and drink the juice." Do you think she was ready? But once again, that's how these people in Corinth were thinking. They were using it as a time to eat a meal. No. You have houses for that, as Paul says here. You have houses where you can go and eat your meals. That's what it's for. It's the same thing with entertainment. If you want to be entertained, stay at home, watch a movie, watch a TV show, go to a ball game. We're not here to entertain, and we're not here to eat a meal. We are here to remember our Lord and Savior. That's what worship's all about. It's all about God and what He has done, praising Him for showing us mercy, showing us forgiveness. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, it is not to eat a meal. And it's not to get drunk on. Obviously, I'd like to meet the first person who got drunk on grape juice. But once again, that's what they were doing. And Paul here says, "I will not praise you for this. This is wrong." Another way that we see, going on down to verses 27 and 29 of 1 Corinthians 11. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." How do we do it in an unworthy manner? He's not the focus when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We may be thinking of other things. "Well, I left the pot roast in the oven. I hope the preacher hurries up." Or, "I have an important game that's on. I need to go home and watch. I need to catch the beginning of it." Thinking of other things, not focusing solely on Christ. That's why we partake of the Lord's Supper. We take that moment to remember what the bread represents, remember what He went through, and remember the spilling of His blood, which the cup represents. He is the focus, the main focus when we are here, when we are singing, when we are preaching and teaching. It's not all about me behind this pulpit. It's about Christ. When we pray, it's about God. He's the center of the attention. He's the focus. So when partaking of the Lord's Supper, it's all about Him. And so if our minds are somewhere else, then we need to check ourselves. We need to make sure that we are focusing solely on Christ in that moment. The Lord's Supper is so important because it reminds us. And let me tell you, I need reminded every day. You need reminded every day. It's important because if we forget Christ, what usually happens? We're deep down in a ditch with sin. When Christ is the focus of this moment, it helps. And I, from experience, there were weeks where I've had awful weeks, but when I come together with brothers and sisters in Christ and I worship God and He's the main focus, it does wonders. It does. It helps build us up. It helps keep us. It puts you in a good mood, doesn't it? Doesn't it really rejuvenate you to be able to move forward and be ready for the next week coming? I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And so, next time, and for some who weren't here this morning, when you take of the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder. Put Him as the main focus when you partake of the Lord's Supper. Remember everything that He did for you. He is your, should be your only thought when you are taking the Lord's Supper. And so, after the Lord's Supper, of course, the giving. Now, many, of course, misuse giving. When I was in Systemville, there was a congregation, there's a denomination on down, And there were a bunch of people who left. They asked the people to give three times in a single service. That's not a good thing. Many of these mega churches that you see, yeah, they rack in plenty of money. But we see that these people are giving to a false cause. And a lot of times, and there have been so many scandals where the money was not used correctly. But we must understand not only that, but what does a cheerful heart, what does a giver with a cheerful heart look like? We must understand we are commanded to give, and we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. A cheerful giver is one who will give, not thinking or hoping for something in return. A lot of this prosperity gospel movement, what it's about is, hey, if you have faith and you give to the church, you give everything you have, God is going to repay you back. What's wrong with that? Are we to be givers in giving and hoping to receive something back? Absolutely not. But as well, these funds are used for good works, works of the kingdom. It's so important that we see this. When people give their money to the church, it is to be used for the right thing. And we should be excited to be a part of that work by giving the funds necessary to help it keep moving and going. It's a great thing when we can give to the church, give to the Lord's church. Now, of course, once again, many misuse it. But once again, we must understand it is important for us to be a cheerful giver. We are not to treat it like a chore. And so when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 25, we see tithing. It says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain, and the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money and take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So when we look at tithing, we know that it is 10%. And I had people who always told me, you need to tithe, you need to give 10%. Under the old law, sure, they were commanded by God. But are we commanded under the New Testament to tithe? Now, if you and your wife have chose, hey, we're going to give 10%, great. But we are told whatever we propose in his heart, whatever we have decided to give, you give. We are not commanded to tithe. We are not commanded to give 10% of what we have. Once again, people, they don't understand the Lord's Supper. Some don't understand what giving looks like. Even if you chose, and I see the little kids, and it's a beautiful thing when parents teach their children. They give their children a dollar bill, and they put their dollar bill in the plate. It's a beautiful thing because those are parents who are teaching their children, and even their grandchildren, that you're giving for the Lord's kingdom to be, to go out and to sow and to reap and to do what we have been called to do. It's a beautiful thing when we see little children doing so. And so is there a wrong way to give? Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's an improper giving. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. You think it's right if someone put $10,000, gave $10,000 to the church and say, hey, I did that, I gave that. That's wrong. That's sin. They're looking for attention. They're looking for the glory to be given to them. And that goes with any deed as well, any charitable deed. We must understand we are to do it in secret. I have seen so many times in different congregations where they would receive a large sum, but no name is given. These people are not giving these large sums to receive the glory. They're doing it because they want to see God's church grow. They want to see the Lord's church grow. Do the works that are needed to get the good news out there. You know, we support many mission works. We support preaching students. Those are great things for the funds to go towards, absolutely. Great things. We're training men, future preachers, to go out and to help congregations, to help spread the good news throughout the United States. Mission work outside of other countries is a great thing to support because these men and women are going out and doing great works. I know some women who will go over to Africa to help with medical care, to help these nurses and doctors over there, make sure everybody's getting the vaccines, making sure everyone's getting the medicine they need. That's a great work to do. While the men are preaching the truth, it's a great work, and it's a great work to fund. Because when we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45 here, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Was the church doing this in order to receive the glory? No. They were doing this because they wanted to see the church grow. They wanted people to hear the good news. We see so many times with Paul, there were times with these young congregations that were planted throughout the areas, he didn't want to bother them with income. Because they were young, they were starting out, they were growing, and so he would work on the side. It's a wonderful thing. Once again, the Lord's Supper and giving. How important it is. The Lord's Supper to center our minds on Christ, to remember what he did for us. The bread which represents his blood, the bread which represents his body, and the cup which represents his blood. And then separate from the Lord's Supper, we give. We give so we can get the word of God out there, that we can help those who are in need within the church and possibly outside the church when we can. It's so important. When we look at the five acts of worship together, it's a beautiful process. It's a beautiful blueprint for the church. It's God's way, not our way. It saddens me that so many have gone away from God's blueprint and have come up with their own little blueprint, have taken things out of context, and it's sad. Because when we look, it's every first day of the week that the church would gather to take the Lord's Supper. It's not once a month, once a year. and they would give. They would be cheerful givers. We see here in Acts chapter 2, they sold their possessions and good and divided them. They weren't grumpy about it. They were all in. People were bringing, they were selling things to give to the church, to give to the saints so they could go forth, give to the apostles so they could go forth and preach and give to all who needed, both physically and spiritually. It's so important. God's way or the highway. When we look at the five acts of worship, it's so important that we follow God's blueprint and that we never go off of it. Because when we stop worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, sin is right around the corner, ready to devour us. So if you're here this morning, understand what Christ went through for you. He was scourged. He was humiliated. He was mocked. And then He was nailed to a cross where His blood was spilled. Innocent blood. He did it all for you. If you're not a Christian, understand Christ loves you. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to be a part of Him so that one day you can spend eternity with Him in heaven. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe, John 3:16. Repent, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. And be baptized for the remission of sins, Galatians 3:26 and 27, Acts 2:38. But then you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And that means following God's blueprint for how the church is to worship. Or if you are a Christian, you've fallen back into your old ways. Christ is still there, arms wide open, willing to receive you. As long as you come forward and repent of your sins and do what is right and remain faithful from that day on. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.